Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. I'd like to extend a special welcome to anyone who may be visiting. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you place the card in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship at our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. On the back page of the bulletin, you'll note the calendar for this week. And again, I'm not going to read it to you, just call your attention to it. I do want to remind you that the White Cross request list is in Judson Chapel. If you'd like to sign up for any of those items and purchase those and bring those back in, we'd appreciate that. Also want to call your attention to the announcement in the middle of the page about the Adoniram Judson Women's Toy Harvest, which is Saturday the 14th at First Baptist Salem. At this time, I have no other announcements at this time. I would like to, we're going to change the order of service just a little bit. We're going to have our mission moment at this time. I'm going to invite Mr. Mark Foxon to come forward. Mark and Dottie have to leave early. They have a double christening at noon in Haverhill. So they've asked to, they've come to share and then they need to leave. So Mark, please come forward and share your mission moment at this time.
Thank you, Martha. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I had asked Martha for a minute to speak on one of my favorite subjects, children. How about that one? With two sons, seven grandchildren, and seven great-grandchildren, and 22 years mentoring children at the Boston Museum of Science, I'm compelled to speak on their behalf. We all know the song, Jesus loves the little children, red and yellow, black and white. I dare say everyone in this congregation loves children and hates to hear that even one of them may be hungry. Our pastor has done a superb job explaining our Pennies for Children program in the current witness, and if you have any questions, please refer to the witness as it explained in great detail. But I would like to add a personal note. After discussing the campaign with our son Tom and Wendy and his wife Wendy, I was given seven rolls of pennies that were saved by our late grandson Tommy. Tom and Wendy's personal check is on the way. There's two. Then, during a recent dinner with son Jeff and while discussing the pennies program, he went to a closet and returned with two containers, each one filled with 25 pounds of pennies. That is 8,125 pennies, to be exact, representing 8,125 hungry children. Martha, thanks to Eastern Bank's continue counting machine, I will be putting Jeff's check in the jar this morning for $81.25. Last, but in no way least, having lunch with our new bride, Jen, last week, somehow the subject came up again. She commented that she and Paul had saved the change to spend on their Hawaiian honeymoon. Having forgotten to take that money with them, she is now suggesting to Paul that it come to the penny campaign. That's three. The campaign is now more than one half over, yet we are only at 30% of goal. 30%. We've got a long way to go. We need pennies from heaven as well as dollars from earth. Please help us reach our goal of 200,000 pennies, $2,000. Thank you, Dottie and Mark.
Thank you, Mark, very much. No, it's a project very near and dear to your and Dottie's heart, and we're working on it. You see the vase here on the communion table. It looks a little emptier today than if you saw it last Sunday. We have been taking some of the money out and depositing it in the bank, and that's we've been tallying it. But there's plenty of room in there for change and bills and checks, and that will be on the coffee hour table today and the next Sundays during November. The program ends for the denomination on December 15th. I've set a deadline of November 30th for our deadline so that we can get everything counted and deposited and then reported to the denomination. At this point, I believe that they are at $12 million and a little more. I didn't check it yesterday. Their goal is 15 million pennies. So they've got a ways to go, and we are striving to help with that. We aren't going to make the whole difference up, but any of your gifts, and the gifts will be going to housing families here in Malden who work with families as they are transitioning from homelessness to permanent housing. And they provide specific programs for children, an after-school program, some mentoring. We collect backpack supplies and backpacks in the summer for the children in their program. It's a way of showing our love to children that we don't know, but children who are in need. So I encourage you to give generously as you're able. So I invite you now to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 504 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading responsively from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and let us read from God's holy word. I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name.
I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit and in your being,
so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love,
may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.
And to know this love that surpasses knowledge,
that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
We are here in the love of God and to celebrate the love that Jesus Christ has demonstrated for us. Our opening hymn is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 507. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Oh,
Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we come remembering that all of our days and years are gifts from you. As we center our thoughts upon your goodness, we are prompted to glorify you with our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. Receive then all expressions of our love and reverence. May we truly realize this day that we have been with you. We ask this in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there are any children sitting farther back in the sanctuary who'd like to come forward for our moments together, I invite you to do that at this time. Morning.
Good morning.
What usually comes in this? Coffee. And if we were to count the grains of coffee, there'd be a lot more grains of coffee than there would have been pennies, right? But imagine, what did Mr. Foxon say, 25 pounds? 25 pounds, and if it was coffee, it would only be a little over 2 pounds. So the pennies are a lot heavier. And the vase of coin, yes, it's pretty empty right now because I took a lot out this week and we counted it and deposited it. But that was getting heavy, too, to carry. So coins have a lot of weight to them. Not a lot of value sometimes, but a lot of weight. And we think about children, and that's what we're collecting pennies for, are for children. And You are children, teenagers, young adult, young youth. Sometimes may not want to be called a child, but some people may not think that children have a lot of value. Just like we think, I think I was talking to you a few weeks ago, and we talked about pennies, and that they weren't worth much. You remember that conversation? But we're talking about a penny. Each penny that we put in the vase and we give represents one child. And every child is important. So whether it's a coffee can full of pennies weighing 25 pounds, whether it's a roll of pennies, which is 50 pennies, I don't know how much it weighs, but that represents every penny. Every nickel is 5 children, every quarter is 25 children, every dollar is 100 children that represent someone that's living in poverty, that we are saying we love them enough to help them in our way. It's not somebody we know. It's not we're getting it. We're not giving because we know somebody and love them and care about them. We love them because Jesus loves them. And Jesus said to love the children, take care of them, watch over them, protect them. And that's what we're trying to do. So I know you've been collecting some money in Sunday school, and I know that there's a can up there being collected too. And at some point near the end of the month, we need to get that too and add that to it. And that hasn't been accounted for yet. But I just want you to think about it. The next time you see a penny, yeah, that it does have value. Next time you see a child, someone younger than you, someone older than you, think of that, how important they are and that Jesus loves them. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you that you do love each one of us individually. And Lord, we pray that as we continue to collect pennies for children, that you would bless us and inspire us, that we may find new ways of sharing our love with the children in our midst and children that we do not know, but we know that need our love. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may go to your class. As we come to God this morning, we have an opportunity to share our celebrations and our concerns before spending a few moments in silent prayer and then corporate prayer. We do want to continue to remember Mark and Dottie Foxen's granddaughter, Jen. Mark mentioned that they had lunch together this week. Jen's having surgery for her cancer this week. They'll decide what treatments beyond that, but she's very upbeat and willing to fight this disease, so we want to keep Jen in prayer today. We want to keep Dave Latta in prayer. Dave is suffering from kidney stone, and he's been having that since Tuesday, and it hasn't passed yet, so quite a bit of discomfort. So we want to keep Dave Latta in prayer today. Talk with Barbara Tolstrup, and David, her husband, is home and doing well after his surgery, his open-heart surgery, so we want to keep David as he continues in his recovery in prayer. Celebration is a celebration and a sadness. David and Virginia Williams are moving to Florida for the winter, so we want to keep them in prayer as they're doing their transition. And two less voices in the choir, you know, we will be missing them and from boards and committees and just the life of the church family. But we do wish you well as you enjoy the supposedly, presumably warmer weather and less snow in Florida. Just bid you well and you're moving to Florida. But we will see you next spring, I understand. So looking forward to their return next spring. So want to pray for the Williamses. Also a celebration is with John and Christina Nowak. They are expecting the birth of their first child next April. So we want to celebrate with them and pray for them and just pray for them. So do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns this morning? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up someone that's been mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord, it is a privilege to come to you in prayer. We thank you for the friendship we have through Jesus Christ that makes you even more approachable. Lord, in these moments, the month of November, we realize that another year on the calendar is almost completed. We look back and wonder where the time has gone. We also look back and remember the snows of last February and do not look forward to those again. But Lord, we've been enjoying some perhaps Indian summer weather, some warmer weather for November, and just relishing that, but knowing that colder temperatures and snowflakes will be coming. Lord, we thank you for living in New England and the changing seasons that we can enjoy and the beautiful leaves that we've been enjoying and the colors of fall. We think so much of the colors of spring after winter, but reminded of the colors of fall as well, how majestic they are. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of sight. We can see those beautiful colors. And we pray for those, Lord, that cannot see those colors, cannot enjoy them. Lord, as we come this day, we are mindful of those who are ill and pray for them and lift them up to you and just pray for your healing according to your will in their lives. We pray for those who are in mourning this day as well, O God, and just pray for your spirit of comfort and peace to be with them. We are mindful, Lord, that this is a time of transition for many people, especially as they are changing homes and moving to warmer climates for the colder weather. Lord, we pray especially for the Williams today as they are preparing to travel to Florida to a new home. Just pray for safe traveling mercies and also, Lord, that as they rekindle friendships there and establish a home there, that you will be with them and you will bless their time there. And we do look forward, Lord, to welcoming them back to us next spring, but Lord, during this coming weeks. And we pray for others, Lord, that are reestablishing connections in other places and during this time of transition. We thank you that you are a constant, Lord, that you never go to sleep, you never go on vacation, You're always there for us, and that we know that all we have to do is turn to you, and we are very grateful for that. Lord, we also think of students who are attending classes and writing papers and perhaps coming up on exams, and just pray for the professors and teachers as well as students during this academic year. And holidays are coming, and sometimes it's difficult to sit still in a chair and a desk and pay attention. Lord, we just pray for the students that are trying to learn right now, and the educators that are trying to teach and trying to impart knowledge to the students. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity of worshiping you. We pray for those outside our congregation as well as those within our church family. And lift all of these prayers to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, our Master and our friend, Jesus Christ. Amen. We can worship in many different ways. Sometimes we worship inside, sometimes we worship outside. During the service, we have sung hymns, and we have read scripture together, and we've prayed. And now we have an opportunity of worshiping God by presenting our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Just a little word about the anthem. It's a tribute to soldiers, to veterans. And it was recommended to the choir by Andy Nowak, one of our tenors. We'll sing it now, The Mansions of the Lord.
Together. Lord, we offer these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we are about your work in this world. Help us to share the love of Jesus Christ with those who do not know him as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning's scripture lesson comes from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. And if you would like to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's found on page 188 in the back section of the Pew Bible. Paul had been to Thessalonica and had visited there, and Timothy, one of his students, disciples, co-missionaries, was also there. And so we pick up Paul's letter in verse 6 of chapter 3. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love. He has told us also that you always remember us kindly and long to see us, just as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers and sisters, during all our distress and persecution, we have been encouraged about you through your faith. For we now live if you continue to stand firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words from the Apostle Paul, we see how familiar and how comfortable he felt with the people in Thessalonica, how his heart was heavy for them, but also joyous, appreciative of their prayers, appreciative of their faith. Lord, it's a very personal correspondence. It's almost like listening in or reading somebody else's words. And Lord, we just thank you for having that in our scriptures, that we can read it for ourselves so many centuries later. But Lord, we pray that the words of the Apostle Paul may have meaning for not only the church in the first century located in Thessalonica, but also for the 21st century and for the First Baptist Church in Malden. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open this day to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Have you watched much TV lately? Seems like there's a pill for everything these days. If you believe all the pharmaceutical commercials featuring smiling people who've benefited from better living through chemistry. Of course, there are side effects that may occur. Some unpleasant and others outright dangerous. And sometimes when you hear them on TV, it's like, too much information, folks. I don't really want to hear that now. Or, why would anyone ever consider taking that medicine with all those side effects or potential side effects? But the user must weigh the potential benefits versus the side effects, and it's a balancing act. Some of these pills are linked to erotic love. With chemical assistance, romance seems to be in the air. For many years, there's been the little blue pill for men, and recently a little pink pill arrived on the market for women. These love compounds may be the ultimate happy pills for some who want to be ready when the time is right. But there's no guarantee that they will actually enhance our relationships or make us better people. But there's big news. A new breakthrough in research has produced a love drug that just might make us more compassionate more loving, and more empathetic people than we are right now. It's a long way from being on the market, but it's on the way. Scientists have discovered that the use of a drug that prolongs the effects of dopamine, the chemical that enhances reward or satisfaction on the brain, can make a person more compassionate and predisposed to equalize differences between people and social interactions. In a study at the University of California at Berkeley and the University of California at San Francisco, very small study, 35 men and women visited a lab 2 times. Each time they were given a random dose of either the dopamine-sustaining drug or a placebo. Then the researchers gave each person some money to divide between themselves and a stranger. The results showed that those who had taken the actual drug were more likely to share the money equally with a stranger than those who had the placebo. Scientists believe that their findings could eventually lead to a more equitable social interactions among people by altering the chemicals in their brains, which sounds a bit like something that a James Bond villain would attempt on a large scale. But do we really need yet another pill? And especially one that makes us become what God created us to be in the first place? As Paul writes to the Thessalonians in chapter 4 of his first letter, a little beyond what I read this morning, you don't need anyone to write to you or write you a prescription for. You yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. In fact, in today's text from chapter 3, Paul prays for the church, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. Love and compassion, it seems, are enhanced best by a relationship with God. In fact, Paul offers a formula for a kind of Christian kindness pill that requires no water to take other than the water of baptism. It has no debilitating side effects. It's the kind of love and compassion that's unleashed when people love each other in such a way that it cannot help but make us treat strangers as equals and give love and resources to them equitably as well. The Thessalonian church had been ill-treated by the surrounding culture, just as Paul himself had been mistreated. Paul had come there after preaching in Philippi, where he had been beaten and thrown into prison until he revealed his Roman citizenship. And now that fledgling church in Thessalonica was experiencing its own trials on behalf of their faith in Jesus Christ. After his departure, Paul was clearly worried that persecution might cause the hemorrhaging of the struggling church. But miraculously, Timothy had just been there on a visit, and he returned to Paul with the good news that about their faith and love. Despite the apparent dis-ease of their situation, they had become inoculated by love for God and for others, and had been able to stand firm in the Lord. So what was the chemical makeup of that kind of love and compassion for one another, and even for those who persecuted them? Here are some ingredients that we find from today's scripture. The first is encouragement. It's clear from the text that Paul, Timothy, and others had been giving constant encouragement to the Thessalonians, not only encouraging them to stand firm in the faith and mission, but also to persist in love no matter what. Paul wrote earlier in the letter, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you receive the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers. The key to cultivating the kind of love that withstands the virus of hatred is to imitate someone who is demonstrating that love authentically and compassionately to all. Someone who encourages us by word and example. Paul spent time with the Thessalonians. He sent others to check on them and to encourage them. And then he wrote to them, again with thanksgiving for the example that they were now setting for others, both friends and enemies. And as our Tuesday Bible study has been studying, you know, how the Bible came to be and what Scripture means today, and you know, we talked about how the letters of Paul's letters were circulated. And yes, this letter was written to the Thessalonians, but it offers so much encouragement that other churches struggling, I'm sure, if they got hold of this letter, they could find inspiration for their cause and their existence as well. In order to have the love of God flow naturally out of us, we first need someone to show us what it looks like and to encourage our growth. We need to ask ourselves and find that person who we might imitate for their compassionate love for others and for whom we might model ourselves after, that we might model that kind of love and return that type of encouragement via imitation. The maintenance is a way of maintaining healthy disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to look around. Who should be our role models? And then emanate them. The second ingredient in Paul's compound for love is thanksgiving. In 2.5 weeks, we will celebrate our National Thanksgiving Day. Many of us probably with a big dinner, perhaps with turkey and stuffing, all the fixings, perhaps something else, but usually Thanksgiving is this big meal. But thanksgiving, the act of thanksgiving, is one of the key ingredients that we need every day, not just one day a year, but every day in order to become people of love and compassion. Paul thanks the Thessalonians for all the joy we feel before our God because of you. The discipline of giving thanks to God and giving thanks to and for others leads us to see them differently. If we can see them in a positive light, to be thankful for them and thankful to them, they're no longer strangers to us. They're no longer foreigners. They're no longer aliens. We're more likely to treat someone with love and compassion if we know how much love and compassion we have received. Just like we're more likely to be more forgiving if we know how much we have been forgiven. Think of it as thanksgiving therapy that strengthens our ability to see others as God sees us. And the third ingredient for this love compound of Paul is prayer. Paul and his companions prayed night and day for the Thessalonian church. And not just casually, but earnestly. No doubt they were praying earnestly for Paul and for Timothy and the rest as well. Prayer is an essential ingredient for the life of love and compassion because it brings us before God on behalf of someone else. In our prayers, we may ask God to act, to strengthen, to encourage, to heal. And then we go out and work for what we pray for. We pray that God will restore whatever is lacking in the faith and wholeness of others, even our enemies, which is sometimes difficult to do. And when we do so, we cannot help but be moved to be more disposed in compassion towards them. We pray that God might strengthen their hearts in holiness so that they may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. If we take all of these ingredients and combine them together, we have a compound that is much stronger than anything a scientist can manufacture with a mortar and pestle. In fact, some studies have shown that there's a direct connection between prayer, which includes thanksgiving and even encouragement as we pray for others, and the release of more dopamine in the brain that stimulates feelings of rewards, satisfaction, and compassion. When we read 1 Thessalonians, we may get the idea that Paul is having a dopamine rush himself in thinking and praying about the Thessalonians. His love for them overflows in this letter. What would happen if we devoted ourselves to that kind of encouragement and thanksgiving and prayer for the people whom we encounter every day, even those who may be hostile to us? After all, when Jesus told us to love our enemies, he also told us that this is one of the ultimate demonstrations of perfect love. As we heard earlier in the service, we have been collecting funds for the Penny Project this fall to benefit children living in poverty. This morning we've heard about the project and how our pennies, bills, and checks will benefit children in our area. It is a way of expressing our love and our concern for them. But let's also use some of Paul's love compound in the coming weeks as we express our thanksgiving for the blessings we have and the opportunities that we have to share some of these blessings with others, especially those in need, so that we can offer encouragement to others and remember them in prayer. Science will keep trying to find ways to enhance our lives through better chemistry. But the reality is that some things just don't need a quick fix. Rather, they simply require some discipline and some encouragement. And the side effects we don't need to worry about. Let's pray together. Lord, you have called us to be loving people, to have compassion for others. Lord, in these moments, we pray that we may be encouraging, especially to those who may be hostile to us, those whom we do not want to turn the other cheek to, but we know that you tell us to do that. Lord, help us to look beyond the words and actions that may be flung at us and to try and see the person as a creation from you, someone that you love, and help us to express our love to them. Lord, we thank you for the gift that you have, of life that you have given to each of us, and we pray that we may offer that thanksgiving to you, but may thank others for their role in our lives as well. And Lord, remind us to be in prayer, not only for ourselves and our loved ones, but praying for our enemies, praying for those whom we do not know, praying for those in situations that we don't understand, but know that you do, in lifting them up to you. Lord, help us to use these ingredients and to compound them together into the spirit of love, that we may share love with those whom we know and those whom we do not know. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Pass It On, and it is printed on the insert in the bulletin.
Thank you.
only takes a spark to get a fire going. May our God, who sends the spark, lights the inner blaze and tends the flame, fill us with his radiance of love. And may we leave here to pass his love unto those whom we meet. Amen.